Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The woman who was supposed to protect Alec Murdaugh's jury pled guilty to lying under oath, and the lie she admitted to, it happened at the very hearing designed to determine whether she tampered with a jury. That's not irony, that's a legal earthquake. Becky Hill, the former Colleton County Clerk of Court, the official responsible for overseeing the jury during the most watched trial in South Carolina's history, stood in the courtroom in December of 25 and admitted to four criminal charges: obstruction of justice, perjury, two counts of misconduct in office. She showed sealed crime scene photos to members of the media during the trial. She lied about it under oath when a judge asked her directly. She took improper bonuses. She used her public office to promote a book she was writing about the case, a book that was later pulled for plagiarism. And now, we're about a week away from the South Carolina Supreme Court hearing Alec Murdaugh's appeal, with Becky Hill's conviction officially part of the record. Here's why that matters more than most people realize. When Murdaugh was convicted in March of 23 of murdering his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul, the verdict felt inevitable to most people watching. 6 weeks of testimony, the kennel video placing him at the scene minutes before the murders, his own lies to investigators about where he was that night, the forensic timeline showing both victims' phones going dark within 30 minutes of each other. Judge Clifton Newman sentenced him to two consecutive life terms without parole. Case closed, right? Except it wasn't, because within weeks of the verdict, Murdaugh's defense team started making noise about the clerk. Becky Hill had been responsible for the jury throughout the trial, overseeing exhibits, managing logistics, and most critically, having access to jurors during breaks and deliberations. And according to multiple jurors who testified later, Hill made comments during the trial that went well beyond her role. She allegedly told jurors to watch Murdaugh's body language. She allegedly suggested they shouldn't be fooled by his testimony. One juror, in a sworn affidavit, said Hill's comments affected their verdict because Hill made it seem like he was already guilty. That's where we are. That's where we are headed. That's what we have as the beginning to the playing field in Alec Murdaugh's appeal, which we are about to enter the arena of. Next week, that Supreme Court hearing is going to begin. It's not about the logistics of the case. It's not about did he kill his family. It's about did he get a fair trial. And if you're being intellectually honest about any case, especially this case, I don't really know how anyone who is being intellectually honest arrives at the answer of yes. I just don't. You have someone who admitted to lying. You had someone who admitted to telling the jury things. Someone who, the jury members themselves, you have a jury member saying their decision was influenced by Becky Hill. And then you have a judge saying, nah, it doesn't really matter. It would have come out the same anyhow, even though you're telling me it wouldn't have. All it takes is one. All it takes is one during deliberation, during a trial, to hang a jury. So you can't after the fact say, well, that one juror doesn't really matter anyhow. No, they do. They very, very much do. Even if it's inconvenient for you or your belief, or if you think the guy should be away forever. I mean, look, I think Alec Murdaugh is guilty of sin, but I think his trial was bunk. Not all of it, by any means. I think Creighton did a good job. I think everything, for the most part, was put on well. But you had a leech. You had someone in there who was not operating on the up and up. You had someone who was operating for their own self-interest. And they operated enough to get a member of the jury to say that their operation influenced their decision to vote guilty. If they were influenced strictly by the trial, by the evidence, by the testimony, that's fine. But when they're saying they're influenced by the comments of the clerk of court, who shouldn't have been making comments, that's a whole other ballgame. We're going to continue to get into this. Your thoughts in the comments section, as we do on YouTube and on Substack. The links are in the description. We'll continue our conversation there. And you guys can begin having it as I go through this. Because in January of 24, retired Judge Gene Toll held an evidentiary hearing on the jury tampering allegations. Three jurors or alternates testified that Hill made comments that could have influenced them. 11 others said she did nothing wrong. Total ultimately denied Murdaugh's motion for a new trial, but she didn't exactly give Hill a ringing endorsement. She said Hill was not completely credible as a witness and had been attacked or attracted. This is my favorite line of all of it. Attracted by the siren call of celebrity. That phrase, the siren call of celebrity, tells you everything about what went wrong here. Hill had a book deal, had a documentary crew in the courthouse. She had her eye on the spotlight. She had the person entrusted with protecting, or she was the person entrusted with protecting the integrity of the jury. Maybe that's the problem here. Maybe Becky thought that that wasn't her role. I don't know how you wouldn't, but hey, you know, here's the part that changes everything. During that same January 24th hearing, Toll asked Hill a direct question. Did you ever allow anyone from the press to view the sealed exhibits? Her answer, no. That was a lie. and she's now a convicted perjurer because of it. According to prosecutors, Hill showed graphic crime scene photos to multiple media members during the trial, a claim supported by metadata from images that briefly appeared online matching the time window when Hill's courthouse key card showed her accessing the locked evidence room. She violated a judge order and kept sealed evidence from the public. And when the judge overseeing Murdaugh's new trial motion asked her about it under oath, she lied. The state never charged Hill with jury tampering itself. Prosecutors say they investigated the allegations and couldn't prove the case. I got thoughts there, too. Of course not. You don't want to look like your house is on fire when you put it out already, and you can make the fixes over here, and hopefully nobody notices. 11 jurors said she did nothing wrong, and 3 jurors with changing stories wouldn't be enough. But they did charge her with everything else. And in December of 25, she pled guilty to all of it. So now the question before the South Carolina Supreme Court isn't just whether Alec Murdaugh killed his wife and son. It's not even a question at all in front of the South Carolina Supreme Court. It's whether the trial that convicted him was constitutionally sound. And those are two very different questions. Murdaugh's legal team, led by Dick Harpootalin and Jim Griffin, filed a 132-page appeal in December of 24, laying out 3 main arguments. The first is the jury tampering issue. They argue that Hill's conduct wasn't just inappropriate, it was constitutionally impermissible. They invoke U.S. Supreme Court precedent, holding that jury tampering by a state actor is presumptively prejudicial. Hill wasn't some random bystander who wandered into a jury room. She was an elected constitutional officer responsible for jury supervision, her authority, her access, her secrecy, her personal financial motives. All of it renders traditional harmless error analysis inadequate. According to the defense, you can't ask jurors to cleanse a verdict, they argue, when the person who compromised it was a court official who later admitted to lying under oath about her conduct. The second argument is about the financial evidence. Prosecutors spent roughly a week at trial presenting testimony about Murdaugh's financial crimes, the $8.5 million he stole from clients and his law firm, the web of fraud that was unraveling in the weeks before the murders. Their theory, which they call the gathering storm, was that Murdaugh killed Maggie and Paul to delay a June 10th, 2021 hearing. It would have forced him to open his bank accounts and expose everything. The murders happened 3 days before that hearing. Suddenly, Alec Murdaugh was a grieving husband and father, not a defendant facing financial ruin. The defense calls this theory storytelling masquerading as motive. They point out that there's no evidence Maggie or Paul knew about the financial crimes. There was no life insurance payout. There was no direct financial benefit from their deaths. What the jury heard, according to the defense, was 2 weeks of testimony about what a terrible person Alec Murdaugh was, and that overwhelmed any rational consideration of whether he actually committed murder. They call it a trial within a trial, character assassination, dressed up as motive evidence. The state's response? Filed in August of 25, runs 182 pages. They call the evidence against Murdaugh overwhelming. They dismiss Hill's conduct as foolish and fleeting. They argue that Judge Newman admitted the financial crimes testimony under multiple independent legal theories, and the defense only challenged one of them on appeal. So the others stand unchallenged. And it's context. It is context. On that, on the financial motives, I hear their argument. I think anyone needs to be able to hear the argument. But the context is important because it plays into motive. It plays into why on earth did he do this? And it doesn't make a lot of sense without that motive. And you can't pretend that that motive doesn't exist, those actions didn't take place, that they don't lean heavily into the bigger picture of this story. I get why they wouldn't want the jury to know about it. It does look shitty, but it to me, it goes far beyond just character assassination. Those events lead directly up to what happened, and they matter. The state's leaning heavily on Toll's order denying the new trial motion, which concluded the verdict was based on the evidence presented at trial, not courthouse gossip from a celebrity-hungry clerk. That response was written before Hill pled guilty. Here's why this is getting legally significant. In January of 26 here, Murdaugh's lawyers filed that motion asking the Supreme Court to supplement the appellate record with Hill's conviction, not to relitigate facts, not to introduce new evidence of what happened during the trial, just to update the legal landscape the justices will consider when they evaluate the jury tampering claims. And the court has granted it. So what that means is this. Hill's perjury indictment is now officially before the South Carolina Supreme Court. Her sentencing sheet reflecting the guilty plea is in the record. Documentation of her guilty pleas to obstruction and misconduct, all tied to conduct during and after the Murdaugh trial, is part of what the justices will review. The state's entire defensive posture was built on the assumption that Hill was merely accused, not convicted. They called her conduct foolish. They said it didn't influence the verdict. They relied on Toll's finding that whatever Hill did, it wasn't enough to overturn a conviction. But Toll made that finding before she knew Hill had lied to her face under oath. The state's position depended on two propositions: that Hill didn't meaningfully advocate for a guilty verdict, and that any improper conduct was harmless. Both of these claims now have to be evaluated in light of the fact that the person making assurances about her own conduct is a convicted perjurer, and the lie she admitted to was told directly to the judge who was deciding whether Murdaugh deserved a new trial. Dick Harpudlin put it simply after Hill's guilty plea: if Becky admitted perjuring herself in the jury tampering hearing held by Judge Toll, what else could she have lied about? That's a question hanging over everything now, and it's important. Not whether the evidence at the trial was strong, not whether Alec Murdaugh is a sympathetic defendant. The question is whether the state can continue to rely on a record in which the central courthouse actor has now admitted to crimes that further destroy whatever credibility she had left. On February 11, 2026, five justices will hear oral arguments in Columbia, South Carolina. This won't be a retrial. No witnesses will testify. No new evidence will be introduced. The justices will question both sides on legal issues already preserved on the record: the jury tampering standard, the financial evidence admissibility, the constitutional framework for evaluating structural error in a criminal trial. High-profile appeals like this often function as stress tests where the court probes weaknesses, clarifies standards, and signals which issues matter most. There won't be a ruling from the bench. Decisions come later, in writing, often months after the arguments. The court has three basic options. They can affirm the convictions, which means Murdaugh stays in prison for life on the murder charges, plus decades on the financial crimes, regardless of what happens here. Really, he's there. They can reverse or remand for a new trial, which sends a case back to circuit court and forces prosecutors to decide whether they can try him again, or they can remand for further proceedings, send it back to a lower court for additional findings under the correct legal standard. What they can't do is unring the bell. Becky Hill is a convicted criminal. The lie she admitted to was about her conduct during this trial, and the state's entire argument that her behavior was harmless rests on trusting a woman who has proven under oath that she cannot be trusted. This case has always been about more than Alec Murdaugh. It's about whether the integrity of the jury process matters in South Carolina. If the court affirms, it signals that the court official can behave the way Becky Hill behaved: showing sealed evidence to media, lying about it under oath, allegedly making comments to jurors during deliberations. And the system will shrug. The verdict stands. It's okay. The process doesn't matter as long as the outcome feels right. That's one path. Is it a path you want to be standing behind? Does that sound good to you? If it just feels right? Doesn't matter all the other things that truly were not right? If the court reverses, it signals something different, that even an obviously guilty defendant is entitled to a fair trial, that a compromise process isn't good enough, no matter how much evidence there was. Because let's be honest about something. Most people watching this case aren't rooting for Alec Murdaugh. The evidence against him was substantial. The kennel video, the lies, the timeline, the gathering storm of financial ruin that was about to swallow him whole. You can believe all of that and still ask whether the trial that convicted him met constitutional standards. Those aren't contradictory positions. That's how the system is supposed to work. But very soon, the South Carolina Supreme Court will start deciding whether the state can rely on a verdict produced under the supervision of a woman who has since admitted she's a liar. The answer to that question will matter long after anyone remembers Alec Murdaugh's name. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or in our Substack. Join us either place. The links are in the descriptions. Love to get your feedback on this case and where you think this is going. Should he get a new trial? Should they just leave it where it's at, and why? Back it up. Back up your opinion. Because if you think it shouldn't, explain to me why. And be intellectually honest about it. Not just he's a bad guy. We already know that. Your thoughts. We'll continue that conversation off the air. And if you have not done so already, on our podcast platforms, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on iHeart, wherever you get the audio version of this show, did you even know you could get the audio version of this show? Press subscribe. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts and press subscribe today. You'll get access to all of our episodes as we drop them. And you can take us with us, take us with you wherever you go. We put out about 8 to 10 new episodes every single day on the cases that matter to you most. So please do hit subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that. All right, we'll continue the conversation off the air. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling crime novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in the satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta now, only on Prime Video.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.